brighten up those already bright mornings. Wheeler, Ollie, and Lecter, mornings at the cabin.
Hello, everybody. It's Ollie with you. It's Wednesday morning. Smells like Wheeler must have been in here yesterday, huh? 9 to 5, I hear. Looking forward to going to the dress rehearsal of that tonight, AJ.
Yo, you're going?
Yeah, I get to go.
I got to pick a day. I do want to go.
Yeah.
And I know they're starting to sell pretty quickly. I think two-thirds are sold already. So I need to pick a day. I got to go. I got to find someone to go with, though. Hmm. I always find it a bit odd to go. I've gone alone. And I've had friends in the show. They can single you out. Like, not say anything, but they can actually...
What, like, do you mean?
They can see you easier.
Yeah.
I've had friends notice that. They're like, yeah, when you come to the show alone, it's like, it's a lot easier to, like, actually see you in the crowd.
Interesting.
Which is weird.
I mean, there's nothing...
Not that it'll affect Jesse at all, but...
Yeah.
It's just odd.
Okay. So, okay. Anyways, I didn't know...
I got to find a date.
Yeah. I'm going alone.
You are?
They're just going to have to single me out. I don't think I'm going to be singled out.
You should have said that before I jumped into that.
Well, I don't know. I'd never previously given much thought to whether or not I was going to be aggressively singled out by the good people of 9 to 5. Have they not got jobs to do? They've got a script.
They got jobs.
Well, how do they single you out? Do they just, like, stare at you meaningfully?
No, I mean afterwards. Be like, yeah, I could see you in the crowd.
Right, so what you mean is they come and hang out with you afterwards and express appreciation for the fact that you came to their show.
Yeah, I hate that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I begin to see the real problem. Yeah. Now, you're an odd duck, Andrew.
That's what
Goodwin.
I meant. That's what I meant by
you're an odd that. Duck. Welcome along to Mornings at the Cabin, everybody. It's not that warm out there, but I'm confident that it will become vaguely so as the day goes on. It's a blue sky. At least you've got me and AJ for the next couple of hours of your life. What more do you want?
Mornings at the Cabin, the podcast, where we cut out all the great music and you're left with the rest.
Celine Dion and Coldplay, two out of your first three tracks on a Wednesday morning. Were you complaining over there about Celine?
No, I would have to be awake for that.
Hey, what are you trying to say about good old Celine?
Sleepy time music. That's end of the day kind of music.
That's well, I mean, certainly end of the day if you were on Titanic at the time that was on the soundtrack.
Hey, whoa, too soon.
No? Is it though?
It's too soon.
Is it though?
I just
it's been more than a century.
The movie.
Okay, I see. I'm just saying that I think eventually, you know, we do have to move on from such things. Hello, everybody. It's Mornings at the Cabin. So, fascinating news. What is the, AJ, the quickest you have left a job?
3 hours.
Three? Okay, you win. Wow, you versus John Colin, you win. Yellowknife City Manager resigned yesterday, 2 weeks after taking the job.
Oh.
And is working out notice, and so he'll be gone by May the 13th. So he will have just about cracked a month by the time he leaves.
Yeah, solid.
But his resignation was announced yesterday for personal reasons. I do not know why, so I hesitate to make too much out of it because we don't know what the reasons are behind that.
Yeah, my first instinct was to say something maybe happened.
But it's a quick old turnaround, right? Couple of weeks and then gone again. 3 hours? What on earth happened?
It was a Sobeys. I was 17 years old. I had just moved out. And countries, might I add. I moved back to Canada. And I was working as a snowboard instructor. And I quickly realized that I couldn't make rent some months. And it was subsidized rent. That was a weird one. So it would come off my check because, like, the snow school had a deal with the house. So some months, $400 was my rent per month. Pretty good nowadays. And sometimes I would only make, like, $380 a month. So there goes my check. So I just wouldn't get a check. And so I had to get another job. So I talked to Sobeys, which is literally right next door. And they said, sure, come on down. And I was doing like facing, which is where you pull all the stuff in the aisles to the front.
Okay.
To make it look full. I was bagging groceries, you know, doing that kind of stuff. It wasn't the worst job in the world. Very boring, but whatever. And by the end of that shift, I got a call from Pepe's Pizza, my dream job. And I went, okay. And I turned around and I dropped my khakis off on my boss's desk and I went, I'm out. Thanks, Sobe, for the good times. I'm going to Pepe's.
Okay, so you didn't, you weren't fired after 3 hours or anything. You got an upgrade. You were just like, you moved on.
Instantly, yeah, which was, thank goodness.
Maybe John Collins got to turn up in Edmonton next week as the city manager or something. And it's just, he found his Pepe's Pizza.
I hope he finds his Pepe Pizza.
Yeah, wow. I've had three jobs in my entire life that were like jobs that I was on staff for. One was the BBC, one was Moose FM, and this. That is it.
That's it?
So like, I mean, I've done
no
like...
No part-time work or anything in
I've done
school?
The occasional like short contract. So my dad had his own little company selling sports memorabilia when I was a kid. So I just helped with that in the summer. And like, I hesitate to count that as a job even because I just, you know, it's not like I had to turn up anywhere. We worked from home and I just like helped him in his office and basically entered stuff into a computer because he didn't know how to do that.
I mean, that is a job you just described, working with older people. That's a job, working with older people.
Well, working with your father as well is like, you know.
Double click. What do you mean? Okay, really fast. One, two. No, not one, two.
There was a
one,
lot
two.
Of that. But bless him, bless him. So his gig was old sports memorabilia, right? Which in some respects is really interesting. In other respects, just isn't.
Yeah.
And he would need help putting together his monthly little catalog that he would send out. So he would sit there and describe one item after another to me for me to write out and like type out the condition of it. Oh. So we would sit there and we'd do like sessions of like 300 items, one after the other, of him picking up like a 1950s program, like this, you know, the program is the thing you just buy at the stadium,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. That tells you. I've got a lot of them. They give them to me every time I go to Ibrox.
Right. So like 1950s stuff, you'd be like, well, Manchester City versus Manchester United, February 1957, slightly dog-eared, mild modeling to third page, team changes filled out in pencil, slight fold to rear. Slight fold to rear. If he sat there for 2 hours, you know, it just, by the end of it, just sapped of all life force. But you know what? That was the little family business, and it was kind of cool to be helping it, even if it did occasionally become quite wearing.
And that is a first job.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you do as a first job. My very first job was dropping off pamphlets around the neighborhood, like essentially junk mail. But what you don't realize is I lived on an incredibly hilly neighborhood. So our house was in the middle of what I would call a vertical slope. I don't even know how the houses are still there. And then I would have to go all the way down, all the way back up the street, go over to the next one, which was the same situation, all the way down, all the way back up with a huge backpack of junk mail that I prepared at the house with my dad. My dad would actually help me sometimes because I was so miserable doing this job. And then I got a job as a warehouse, like inventory person. I think that's where I found my love of organization.
Ah.
But I just go to each bin and count all these things they're like essentially essential oils. Like I think it was essential oils before they were cool.
Okay.
Because my neighbor owned the warehouse.
Yeah.
So she had me come down. I did this for like a couple weekends, just counting these various things.
Somehow this just sounds sketchy.
I've had weirder jobs. Like when you say you've had three jobs, I don't know how many jobs I've had. Like I actually don't know. There's definitely, if I went through the list, I would forget some.
Okay.
That's how far, like 30 to 40.
Holy.
Like, yeah, with like little jobs that if I were to count T4s, maybe 20, 25 jobs.
I went straight out of university to the BBC, and I moved around a bit within it, but it's not like, you know, like my employer did not change. So from 2006 to 2014, the BBC. Then 2014 to 2016, Moose FM. And then like a little gap before we started setting this up, and then this. That's kind of been it.
That's awesome. And that what you're describing is what happens when you get educated. So if there are kids listening to this, if you're going to take anything away from this show, stick your head down, do well in school.
Sure.
Really grind it out. School is important.
You too could work at Cabin Radio someday.
Like the podcast? Listen live. Mornings at the Cabin, 7 till 9 each weekday.
I found a great little document yesterday, AJ. It's the kind of document that only I probably think is great, but it held my attention. The Mackenzie Valley Highway, right? Which we're all familiar with, the idea that we're going to build someday this all-season road up through the Mackenzie Valley, up towards Norman Wells.
Shore to shore.
Theoretically, blah, blah, blah. That hasn't happened. Anyway, in order to go through all the environmental permitting, they have to figure out what the wildlife situation is. And as part of that, they've been working on how many moose are there along the Mackenzie Valley Highway corridor. And just if you were going to guess, and I realize this is putting you on the spot, if you were going to guess, like, how many moose do you think live between Wrigley and the Sartu, like the full length of the Mackenzie Valley Highway, which is obviously like a fair few hundred kilometers. It's a big old stretch. If you made that like a corridor 15 kilometers on either side, and you said, right, how many moose are you going to drive past if you count all of them? What'd you go for?
That's a really interesting question. That's such a, it's an untapped area of the world.
Yeah.
I would kind of want to go really high.
Okay.
I think it might be like a crazy amount, like 1,000?
According to this survey, so what they did is they flew over the area. They had 4 or 5 spotters, and they're looking at the aircraft, and if you see like a habitat that looks like a moose might live there, they would circle around it a whole bunch of times, see if they could see any moose. If you found one moose, you'd circle a whole bunch of times, see if there were any other moose nearby. And they went and did this a whole bunch, crisscross, all the way up and down the area in question. Then they took all their sightings and used all sorts of different formulas that have been developed over time to extrapolate out as to what the likely true number is. There is a whole lot of if and but and guesswork involved in this. The number they arrived at is just over 2,000 moose.
Okay. I mean, I know I'm halfway there, but the numbers weren't crazy. In the thousands.
Yeah.
Wow, 2,000.
2,000 moose.
Oh, my goodness.
Just in that, like, 30-kilometer strip, could, like, heading up there.
Could feed a lot of households.
That is crazy, right? Well, I mean, that's that if you put a road in there.
Yeah.
Then these are the things that happen, right?
But then, obviously, you got to protect them because, yeah, you want that to be generational.
Yeah, you can't just eat them all.
Yeah.
In one go.
I wonder if they would do something kind of like the Trans-Canada Highway where they put, like, as you come into Banff, they have those wildlife bridges, right? Those walkways for them to cross.
Was it you talking to me about the fish bridge the other day?
Yeah. Yeah, the fish bridge in Skagway. So as you come where like the cruise ships in, so that's essentially what Skagway is now. It's just a cruise ship destination.
I thought about to say, it's just a fish bridge.
It's just a fish bridge.
There's a couple of people.
That's pretty much all that's left.
It's mostly a fish junction.
Well, when we were there, that's pretty much all it was because it was before a cruise ship season.
Okay.
So when we were there, we're walking downtown and everyone is setting up their shops, which was kind of funny. There's just U-Haul trucks parked down the main drag and they're all just unloading and just setting up their shops for the season, which is kind of cool. And so we went down to the pier where the cruise ship pulls into and there's this like kind of tiered canal, I would say, that's raised up at an angle that goes right into the ocean. Sort of. The ocean's really low. So it's like, you know, 10 feet up at this stage. And I thought that that was some sort of like a drainage thing. So from Skagway into the ocean, it was some sort of drainage. But then there's a little plaque and it says it's for salmon. So they come out of the ocean, they'll jump up into the canal. I don't think they intended it to be 10 feet high. I think it was supposed to be in the water.
Okay.
I just think water levels are low. But they basically climb up this thing and then just like they would a river, they climb up this canal to get, I don't know where they go. I hope it's not like some sort of chitty chitty bang bang thing where they just end up in a truck and they go straight to the store, you know. But
that seems unfortunate. I'm sure it's designed to, you know, enable them to carry on their existence up into the wilderness.
I think so too. But it's weird to be like, oh, let's leave the ocean, right? Like it's not like it's.
Well,
like
that's what salmon do.
Is that what they do?
They go up river to spawn, don't they?
Oh yeah, I guess, yeah.
That's the whole point. They're going up the river.
Yeah,
so they've got to go the other way. That's why they're doing all the leaping up the whole time.
I just don't see where it would connect to. Oh, no, there is a river. Interesting.
Yeah, if it doesn't connect to a river, then that is going to end badly as a fish bridge.
Straight to a restaurant.
Straight in, just through the chute.
Can you imagine? You're in a kitchen and they just start...
Oh, my.
Right onto the pan.
The human race is a funny old species, isn't it?
You know,
we come in and we basically ruin a salmon's local environment. And then we say to ourselves, well, we better fix it again. And so we build at great cost to everybody. Then we got to mine something out the ground in order to be able to build a bridge for fish somewhere else.
Yeah, it's pretty. Yeah, it is interesting. We do this a lot.
We do this a lot.
Humankind does this a lot.
Yeah, we'd like to build a road for hundreds and hundreds of kilometers through this pristine Northwest Territories wilderness. So we're going to menace the local moose population with an aircraft for days on end. We're going to figure out that there are roughly 2,000 moose there. And then you know what the document's going to say. And I'm not professing on whether this is right or otherwise. The document's going to say, that'll have a negligible impact. We'll put a road through there. The moose will be okay.
I think so too.
They'll find a way to, you know, that the eventual way all these documents end up is, well, here's the local wildlife, but look, with these measures, the wildlife are going to be fine, is how this is almost always presented. And then away you go. and we'll build a road there. And then what it'll turn out is the moose need to get across the road, and it's causing a little bit of trouble, so there'll be a moose bridge, and the moose will have to jump 10 feet, did you say?
10 feet.
Each step?
About 10 feet.
I'd watch that bridge.
It's a pretty big, moose.
That would be a tourist attraction, if you could just train the moose.
I know moose are very impressive animals. I don't know what their jumping's like. Mm. I wonder if they can jump.
I suspect very few people have tried to teach them.
I mean, I think that's the problem.
I've never seen a moose training course.
Yeah, see?
Dog training is boring.
We put the highway in. Yeah. We offer training as a support. Yeah. How to cross a road. How to jump higher. You know, just a general 30-minute exercise routine every day. Stay healthy.
Yeah, humans. Humans are the ones who can really lecture moose on the art of staying healthy in the wilderness.
Yeah.
Yeah, so A&W, is it? Shall we just...
Yeah, okay. So what's your DoorDash situation out here?
Yeah, pretty minimal.
The Cabin Radio app is out now. Get it on Android or iPhone and take the cabin wherever you go.
It's hard to fully convey what we were just discussing. We started off with moose along the Mackenzie Valley Highway. Then we took a bit of a swerve to Skagway and we talked about salmon. Then we briefly went back to moose. And AJ, you were saying that this whole conversation reminds you of a buddy of yours.
Yeah, I just recently learned through another friend of ours. So I haven't actually talked directly to this friend, and I want to. I'm going to find a moment to chat to him about this. But he was telling me that he now has this job in the wintertime where he tags animals. So essentially he puts like a collar around animals and that's
how not on Facebook. Sorry.
No, not on Facebook.
Doesn't tag animals.
Hashtag wolf.
Like, yeah, bunny.
Yeah, they put collars, and I don't know exactly what the intended purpose is, just to track them, maybe see what their movements are like or if they're, you know, changing locations, whatever. But the idea of tagging an animal like that, so what he does is he flies around in a helicopter and they drop him off. And what, like, again, I want to talk to the guy to actually confirm this, but it sounds like he just gets dropped off by a helicopter, tackles an animal, puts a collar on him, and lets him go, jumps back in the helicopter.
I'm going to go ahead and say I suspect there's some tranquilization involved.
I would like to think so too, but I was also told there's a net involved.
Okay.
So they kind of drop a net. Imagine like you see a wolf running.
Who's Annette?
They
drop a net.
She's incredibly talented at what she does.
She's very robust.
Who she is, all right?
She just, a couple hundred feet, you drop a net.
Nobody knows who Annette is.
Annette does a forward roll.
throws the wolf in an arm bar.
Yeah.
Yeah, before they pass out.
Yeah, there's no way, even with Annette, as good as she is, I do not think you're going to be able to just corral a wolf and put a collar on it. Surely you've got to knock that wolf out.
Look, I had the same thought. But then I thought, why? Why does my brain want to analyze this? I want to think that my friend jumps out of a helicopter.
Onto the wolf.
With Annette, you know, hand in hand.
Yep.
Onto the wolf, okay, wrestles a little bit. Maybe there's a bit of a tussle. There's a bit of a fight. This friend of mine, he's a pretty tough dude. Like, he was a scrapper back in the day.
And, of course, we understand the term wrestle to basically mean that it's a very respectful fight where both parties are kind of into it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no one's getting hurt. You know, it's a good, healthy fight. And throws a collar on this thing, puts a hand up. The chopper comes down. He essentially grabs a big nautical rope, and then they just take him up into the sky. So I don't know if I want the real answer. I want to just keep thinking that this happens in the North.
The reason that this interests me to hear you talk about this is these contracts come up a lot in the Northwest Territories.
Okay, that was my next question. How do I get into this?
Well, Sarah and I, from the business point of view of Cabin Radio, have occasionally looked at these contracts and wondered, like, how much experience do you have to have? You know? Like...
Or you just got to be crazy.
I have the feeling that you also have to sort out the chopper side of things. But part of me is like, listen, we got a traffic helicopter up there a few years ago for a day. We can get a wolf helicopter.
Sure.
How much harder can it be?
Exactly.
And then all we've got to do, I honestly feel as though you would have a pretty, I would need to put in a few training hours. I think you would be ready to go. I think you would be ready to go.
When he was describing it, I went, I didn't realize it, but that might be my dream job. What a cool experience that would be.
The next time that one of those contracts comes up, I'm going to save it for you.
Please.
And let you look through the document.
Please.
So that you can understand exactly what is expected of you as an animal collaring helicopter expert.
Oh, my God. We were talking about jobs earlier.
Yeah.
I mean, you see that on a resume.
We were talking about jobs that people don't last long in. That is a job I would not last long in. If I so much as survived the fall from the helicopter... The next question would be, is it going to be me or the wolf? And I think the smart money is on the wolf.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's always the smart money.
Yeah.
But what kind of training do you get? You know, do they have someone show up in a wolf costume and they just ring a bell and you go three rounds? Like, what is it? You know what I mean? How do you train for that?
Yeah, you know, you sometimes see the helicopters doing training exercises over by the airport there. That's wolf collaring
that's
training. Yeah, you're being thrown out the helicopter and there's a guy running around there being paid, you know, just above minimum wage to run around dressed as a wolf.
I mean, I'd do that job. I'd be the wolf.
Okay.
All right, that'd be a fun job too. I'm just saying, it'd be cool. I want in. How do I get into this?
If you've ever collared wildlife by throwing yourself from an aircraft in the wilderness, love to hear from you. You can email the show, mailbox@cabinradio.ca. AJ, I'm going to keep a lookout for the next time one of those gigs comes up. They do come up surprisingly frequently, and I don't know what that says about the long-term employment prospects of the people they've hired in the past to do them.
Yeah, they get eaten pretty quick.
Cabin Radio's morning show podcast. All the best chat, none of the embarrassing mistakes.
Well, I know you've had a busy few days because you haven't, bless you, you haven't been able to sleep in your own bed.
Yeah, and that I love sleeping in my own bed. I know that sounds silly to say, but I've spent a lot of time in hotels this winter, a couple Airbnbs, and then now I've been house sitting, so again, I'm not in my own bed. And I had my own bed last night, I slept in my own bed, and it was great.
Now, knowing you as I know you, in terms of, for example, cleanliness standards and need for organization, how was it cleaning up on your last night of the house sit?
I'm not sure how to describe it. I think I go too far. I think I can acknowledge, I'm like, this is probably too much. You know what I mean? So I'm not a huge fan of house sitting. I don't dislike it. It's not my favorite thing in the world. I find it weird to be in someone else's house.
You're old now.
I'm old now, yeah. And I have my own home that I love. You know, I like spending time there.
I think once you actually have somewhere to live of your own, that changes the dynamic a little bit for a lot of people anyway, not for everybody, but for a lot of people, like when you're younger, it's like, oh, let's go live in that place for a little bit. Oh, this is cool. We'll check this out. Look at this beautiful place. Yeah, this is way nicer than the hovel that I'm currently renting with whatever I'm earning in my early 20s, right?
Yeah.
And then so on and so forth. But then when you get as old as you are, like, you know, early 30s.
Yeah, your back starts to hurt.
Yeah. You just want to be like in your own bed where you've carved out a shape in the mattress that doesn't cause your back to hurt like every other bed does.
Yeah, I've got a pretty firm mattress and I like that. Yeah, it's nice, yeah. Yeah, and I don't know if I've ever really liked house sitting.
Okay.
Because I think house sitting was for people who, like, when they were younger, they were staying at their parents' house. So that was a break from, like, oh, I can be on my own, I can live my own kind of thing. I've paid rent since I was 17. So I've never had that. I've always paid money to live where I was. So for me, house sitting is kind of weird. I'm like, I'm paying money to sleep here, but now I'm sleeping here. So I've always found it weird. And then cooking is a big one. It's like, I don't like cooking because I'm like, if I use this pot, I can't remember where it goes back to, and I don't want to use like their butter or their, you know, their main like core ingredients. So it just gets kind of weird. So anyways, I'm not a huge fan, but I don't mind doing it if people are in a pinch. I don't mind helping people out. So in this situation, totally cool with it.
So to be clear, these people asked you, you know, could you help us out? We're in a bit of a pinch. We need you to house it, but you consider it to be overstepping the mark to use a small amount of their butter to cook with.
And this is my point. I understand how irrational this is. And they were overly appreciative. I say they. I've been talking about this on the show. I'm house sitting for Lecter.
Yeah, it's Scott and Nicole.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they're going to let you use their butter.
No, and that's the thing. They would. Like, they would. They probably are telling me to use the butter. You know, like, they bought some beer for me. And, like, you know, drink the beer. And Nicole made food. Like, frozen food in the freezer for me just so I can throw it in the oven, which was incredible, by the way.
Already, all parties in this arrangement sound like ideal.
Oh,
like,
they were like, they are so the best. Accommodating.
They're lovely. You're lovely. This is great.
Yeah, they let me use their truck, you know, everything.
What counts as going too far cleaning up, AJ?
It's when I start. So I'm looking around the house. First of all, not a great time to be looking after dogs because, you know, it's just a swampy mess out there. So another thing, you know, they come in the house. I don't know which towel they use for the dogs and stuff like that. So I'm like, ugh. So dogs are kind of gross. And then there's like little paw prints throughout the house. I'm like, ah, you know, this is so annoying. So before I leave, I'm starting to clean that up. So I just do the little things. I start vacuuming up some dog hair, which is everywhere because there's a husky and a northern special. And then I start cleaning up little paw prints. And then I start seeing, okay, well, the couch has a little bit of dog hair. So I start lint rolling the couch. Well, the kitchen could use a clean. So I start cleaning the kitchen. And then, oh, well, I use the shower. I better clean the shower. And, you know, I use these sheets. I better, you know, clean the sheets. So it just, and it kind of went and went and went to the point where last night I was in the car wash cleaning their truck.
Oh, wow.
I filled up the tank. I put an air freshener in it. Because it was...
Really?
Yeah.
What have you like, been doing a bit in there?
Nothing. That's the thing. Like, I've lightly used everything. Because I'm, you know, I always feel like I'm just tiptoeing because I'm like, oh, I'm in someone else's house, someone else's stuff. Very lightly used everything. And so in my head, I'm like, I don't want to give them their stuff back unless it's exactly how they gave it to me or better.
But I was going to say, it isn't though, because it didn't smell that good.
And it wasn't clean. It wasn't a clean truck, you know, before it was.
Can you house it for me? My truck's a state.
I know. And then that was the other thing. I was like, they're going to tell everyone
that,
you know, they got home and all this stuff is fantastic. And then other people are going to go outside me for house sitting. Yeah. And now I'm just going to have to throw out a bunch of no's to people.
No. I'm going to book a week off now. I'm going to tell Lini we're going. We're just going. It doesn't matter where. We're going to go to the Explorer for a week, and I'm going to get AJ to come over. And just, Lini, make a list of all the stuff that you want cleaned, because I'm pretty sure we could swing it.
That's the other thing. I almost messaged them being like, hey, is there anything, any little projects you wanted me to finish off?
No, AJ.
And I didn't do it, but I was close. And there was a couple little things. I corrected some paintings that were a little wonky, and there's a couple screws that were loose. I tightened them up, but... You know, nothing crazy, but
no,
I think some
of that's crazy. Some of that is crazy.
I know. And it's like, here I am, like, I'm not, you know, this isn't my favorite thing to do is house sit.
It sounds like it.
And And as I leave, I'm like, okay. And so I drop the truck off at the airport, shiny, looking great, air freshener.
Did you walk home?
No, Gavin came pick me up, drove me back. Yeah. So, I mean, and also, you know, I want to help out Nicole and Scott at all times. They're some of my favorite people. So in that situation, I had no problem doing it. But I just thought, like, I can't help myself. And even as I was driving away after leaving the house, thinking, like, did I do this? Did I grab that? That was one thing I wanted to do. Oh, yeah, I got that done. You know, like, it's just such a weird, I don't know why my brain does that, but it's so hyper, like, everything has to be perfect all the time, especially when it's other people's stuff. I think it's an illness.
I haven't done any of those things to my own property for like 6 years.
Neither have I. Maybe. No, that's not true. No, I do that all the time. No, that's not true at all. I do that all the time. Literally all those things I do all the time. Yeah, no, I'm sick.
Mornings at the Cabin. AJ's got 90s at 9 coming up next. And it's important to know that he is as organized and regimental about the 90s at 9 as he is about his home life and his house sitting. So you, my friend, are in for a treat. I'm back 12 till 3 with Afternoons at the Cabin. This has been a Mornings at the Cabin production. It's been lovely to have you along. We will see you again tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. Mornings at the Cabin is back from 7 till 9 every weekday on Cabin Radio.